Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Well, what we are really following this morning is a conversation that you guys started online, books and movies. Good books, bad movies, bad books, good movies. What do you think? We have all kinds of suggestions from our listeners. And joining us now to talk about this is Patrick Henry Bass, senior editor for Essence Magazine. Good morning, Patrick.
Good morning, John and Celeste.
Ben Sherwood is also here as the author of The Death and Life of Charlie St. Cloud, which actually opens as a movie under the shorter title Charlie St. Cloud. Ben Sherwood, good morning.
Good morning.
You know, I want to get to the issue of what it's like as an author, Ben, to go from book and see your book realized on screen. I'm going to ask you that question in a second, but I think in general, this is a kind of a jump in the hot tub segment. We want to get as many movies and book examples as we possibly can. I know you're filled with zillions of them. I there's no one I'd rather be in a hot tub than you, Patrick.
I feel the same way.
There we
you.
Go. But Ben Sherwood, I mean, we're sorry you couldn't be here to be in the hot tub. We'd have a towel for you. What's it like to see your book transformed by a director? And in this case, The Death and Life of Charlie St. Cloud.
It's totally surreal. You know, I never imagined that it would happen, and I never imagined it was a small novel that was written about 5 years ago. And as you know, John, I went back from writing novels back into the news business,
sure.
And I was very preoccupied for a few years producing morning television program, and sort of the book left my mind. And one night I was at the movie theater with my wife a couple of years ago, and I got an email from a friend saying, congratulations, Zac Efron is going to be Charlie St. Cloud. And it was very startling because Zac is younger than the character I wrote in the book, and I was aware of him, and I'd seen him in Hairspray. And as I came to understand who Zac is and what they were trying to do with the movie, I began to realize that they were taking a character in the book who is older and sadder and more stuck and depressed because of the loss in his life, the loss of his little brother. I realized that they were trying to change it into a much more hopeful and optimistic character who has a lot of life ahead of him, who might be able to be saved from the trap that he's found himself in.
So, Ben, I think the word out there in Hollywood is redemption, Ben. Yeah, right? Am I right about that?
I think rescue. Yes, rescue.
Right.
Is.
But getting Zac Efron involved will certainly put a deck on the back of your house there, right, Ben?
I'm not sure about a deck, but it certainly has got about there are teenagers lined up in front of my house right now.
All right. What's your favorite book adaptation into a movie that you didn't write?
Oh, my gosh, there's so many of them. I mean, I would have to say that Schindler's Ark, the Thomas Keneally novel from the early 1980s, that won the Booker Prize that became Schindler's List, is a favorite. I also think, I mean, I grew up loving Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. And
fabulous.
I think that is a crazy adaptation with Gene Wilder.
Yeah. Some people
those
say
are two. Another one, just another favorite. You know, I love the Peter Benchley novel Jaws, that became the movie we all know. And sometimes it's sort of a chicken egg question, which is I think most people don't even realize there was a novel Jaws.
Right, exactly. Yeah, Peter Benchley tries to remind everyone of that. And some people say Roald Dahl, actually, the movies were projected on the inside of his skull before they were books in his own mind. Patrick Henry Bass, what are your favorites?
My favorites are Adaptation, which is actually an adaptation
of
The Orchid Thief,
which is
just brilliant.
Susan Orleans.
Absolutely. Yeah. And Ordinary People, that was Robert Redford's first effort. Judith Guest novel was so-so, but it was the first novel from her that was picked up from a slush pal in publishing. So that was brilliant.
What do you look for in an adaptation, and what are the kinds of criteria that really are meaningful for you, Patrick?
I think we always should learn from David O. Selznick, the great producer in Hollywood, that you follow the character first. And, you know, David O. Selznick gave us classic films that were based on classic novels like Gone with the Wind and Rebecca and David Copperfield. He always got it right, and this is David O. Selznick worked in the 30s and 40s and understood that inherently. You follow the character, not the point of view of the author.
You know, Walter Bernstein, who wrote the screenplay for Failsafe and also wrote the screenplay for The Front, who still writes for HBO today, I think he's in his 90s, he said the best A movie comes from a B book. I wonder. Yeah,
that's a kind of a truism, but it doesn't necessarily hold water. I mean, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, that was a great adaptation.
One of my favorite.
Valley of the Dolls was a terrible book. Catch it was 22. An even worse movie.
That's true. That is true.
Forrest Gump.
Yeah.
You know, my favorite adaptation is John Huston's last movie of James Joyce's little story, complex, fantastic story, The Dead. Nobody saw this movie, but I loved it.
I saw it in the hot tub.
Watch The Dead in the hot tub.
There are so many. I mean, if you think about it, people hated the adaptation that Disney made of Alice in Wonderland because they felt that was a terrible. But American Psycho, I thought that was a pretty true adaptation of the original book.
Yeah, I mean, John Irving has given us some real complicated adaptations of his very complicated work. Like The World According to Garp is just sublime. But then The Hotel New Hampshire was a disaster.
Yeah.
And then The Cider House Rules is an almost good film.
Right, but that still doesn't get you to the finish line.
No, it doesn't.
In Los Angeles, a very good friend who's a screenwriter was telling me about a great novel to read. He told me the wonderful thing about this novel is it will never be adapted as a screenplay. It's too complex. It was The English Patient.
Oh, that's great.
And he said it's just impossible. It cannot be adapted. It's too layered. It's too beautiful. It's poetic. It cannot be adapted as a film. And I called him the night that it won Best Picture.
That's good. So, Ben, why didn't your book about the guy who ate the plane one piece at a time get turned into a movie?
Well, thank you for asking. You know, that is mired in development hell, as they say out here. And in fact, there's some talk about trying to resuscitate it. That's the one that I got to be honest, I always thought that The Man Who Ate the 747 would, if this ever were to happen, and I never imagined it would, but if it ever happened, I sort of thought that was the one that might end up happening.
Cameron's probably got the special effects for that there, Ben. I mean, my first book is still kicking around Hollywood in development, you know, hell, death, whatever you want to call it, supposedly. So these things can go on for decades.
And you're playing yourself, correct?
Oh, yeah, right. Oh, yeah. 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 There was Tom Cruise at one point. There was Nicolas Cage at one point. I think it's RuPaul now.
I'm thinking it's Wayne Brady playing.
But, you know, Patrick, the movies can, I mean, they can be a disservice to the book or they can actually help. I mean, certainly movies that have sent a ton of people back to reread Jane Austen.
Oh, correct. Yeah, absolutely. I mean,
To Kill a Mockingbird.
And they've also alienated diehard fans, which you have to be very careful of when you have adaptations like 1,000 Acres by Jane Smiley. And you always have dream casts, you know, when you know, it's like, oh, let's make this movie. Let's get Michelle Pfeiffer and Jennifer Jason Leigh, and let's get Jason Robards, and you have a disaster, an unmitigated disaster. The Role by Cormac McCarthy, everyone was looking forward to that adaptation. Viggo Mortensen, they had a character who didn't exist in the novel. This is Cormac McCarthy. Dune, one of the great failures.
I love that.
Dune was
one of the
great.
I love The Road.
You love The Road?
Dune was a failure.
And David Lynch, you know, Kyle MacLachlan, Sean Young.
Sting was in that, right?
Sting was in that.
That was one of the worst.
One of the worst ever.
In a metal diaper.
Ben, take us out. It's your movie that's premiering.
You know, all I can say is, John, it's completely surreal. And, you know, I can just say it's surreal. I'm actually overwhelmed by the experience of the fact that this little book that I think had actually gone off and was going to be live the rest of its life as pulp and all copies in existence possessed by my mother in Los Angeles is now suddenly finding a new life.
Well, congratulations. Ben Sherwood, author of The Death and Life of Charlie St. Cloud, opens as Charlie St. Cloud. And Ben, don't worry, because you can't go back to TV news. You know that, right?
There's no doubt about that.
Patrick Henry Bass also is with us, senior editor for Essence Magazine. Books and movies, you started the conversation. Patrick, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
We want you to keep your suggestions coming. What movie is better than the book that it's based on? Give us a call and let us know at 877-8-MY-TAKE or head over to thetakeaway.org. I'm Celeste Headlee.
I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway. We'll be right back.